And I want you to wait and try to see Jesus and Jesus after he has knocked you out of the Bible.
Thank you.
Cumberland Presbyterian Church on this first Sunday in May. I'd like to welcome everyone here and see if the attendance registers have been passed out. Please sign those and make sure you put 10:15 on that page. Before we get into our announcements, then we're going to have a presentation about Vacation Bible School at this time.
My name is Gloria Lee, and I am the director of children's ministry at my church located in California. We want to instill the heart of missions and just heart of compassion in our kids. So we've been doing Operation Kids for Kids for the last 3 years. We use group Fiesta. We've been using group for, this is our fifth year. We incorporated the whole blanket from day one. When they went to crafts and mission station, they would learn about Latin American countries. And each day during snack time, they would sit together, they would work on those blankets, and they knew that what they made with their hands were going to end up in the hands of children in these countries. At the end, they prayed together for a kid that was going to be receiving these blankets. Operation Kids with Kids is all about getting children involved, hands-on, and just to see what we've done in the state, to see that being completed, and the fact that I can see it and tell our kids about it when I come back. Right now we're going to one of the projects in La Paz, and we're going to be handing out these blankets along with the Fiesta Bible book, and just spend time with them and love them. It says, Jesus me ama, which means Jesus loves me, which printed in English as well as Spanish. I want them to know that these came from the hands and the hearts of the children in the faith, and that we are praying for them, and that we love them as well, and that we're just all God's children.
Really is one of the countries that we have designated to participate in Operation Kid to Kid, because we knew that there is a fair amount of need in Bolivia, especially in the high mountain areas. It's cold. It's one of the poorest countries in all of South America. The distribution has been taking place in Cochabamba and La Paz and the Altiplano area, which is just north of La Paz.
I have to feeling that God was really going to do some amazing things and bring some clarity on my role in missions, you know, with especially in dealing with kids. Jesus loves everybody all the same, regardless of where they live, what kind of opportunities they have. It's not about what we have, per se, but it's about our hearts. And I want to be able to share that with the kids back here, that no matter how little they have, that they can still love God just as much.
So we'd like to give you this gift from children to the United States of Canada. They needed it because it was very cold, and our whole team was very cold here. And they're so appreciative, and you see how much, how grateful they are, and how much they just enjoy these little gifts that we take for granted. They're so cute, and like, they just love all the countries. Three of the girls came up to me today and said, when you get back to your church, can you give the kids at your church hugs and kisses and tell them that we say thank you? So, I mean, it really came a full circle. We asked some of the children why they think that the kids in the Spanish-speaking countries would need these blankets. And one little boy replied that we need to send these blankets to these boys and girls so that if they think that nobody loves them, they can remember when they see these blankets that Jesus loves them and that we love them too. Everyone to get involved in something that's more hands-on rather than just sending money, because it is a complete different feeling.
So amazing. These kids have so much love, and I keep thinking that these kids have to be the richest kids in the world because they have so much love to give.
My mission project has just started because I thought it was going to be complete, seeing the blankets being handed to these children and seeing them in their hands. You just have to look at the smiles and the faces of these kids. For some of these kids, this is all they get all their life. A lot of them don't even know their birthdays because they don't celebrate their birthdays or Christmas, and this means the world to them. I mean, seeing so many kids just clutch onto these things like it's the most precious thing ever on this earth. So, you just have to do it. I don't know what else to say. You just have to do it.
Kid reaches out in new ways to children around the world. You can help continue the influence of this powerful missions project. This year, kids at your BBS will send soccer balls to children in South Africa, where ministry teams will gather kids together for a fun game of soccer. But these soccer balls are a bit different. Worked into the design of each soccer ball is a unique and powerful way for leaders to share the life-saving message of Jesus Christ. Help your kids become missionaries with Operation Kid to Kid.
Right, thank you for that presentation. If you feel in your heart to help us to this mission, Operation Kids to Kids, please contact either Susan or I. Thank you.
Did you want to talk first? Do we have announcements this morning? Anything that's not in our bulletin? All right. Let's move on to... at this time, let's do prayer requests. Do we have any prayer requests that's not...
Paul Campbell had bypass surgery Friday. He is doing well today. Our last evening, last week, he had word from him. So he had a little flare-up last Saturday night. And surgery was Friday.
Yes.
I have a friend.
Mike.
I would ask you to pray for the family of Peter Boyd. Peter passed away Monday, I think. He's present today and he's very happy tomorrow. His son, Keith, and I are good friends. He's been coming for a while. Mr. Boyd is coming to colon cancer. This is a big C word. So would you please pray for the family of Peter Boyd?
Yes.
My friend, Audrey Jones, had lost his sister. His third cancer, third and final sister, in the hospital over the past 10 years. She survived breast cancer a number of years ago. This week, she received coverage that she will make for it. And so she's in hospital and she has to wait for that. She's in her family room.
Also, I understand Ms. Ball's sister passed away yesterday, and her name is Laura Rayburn. Laura Rayburn. Remember that. Ms. Ball. Do we have anyone else there? If not, let us pause.
Got a call to go to Guatemala to help with the clinic again. Kind of a spur of the moment thing, and you never know what's going to happen. Usually I try to organize an overseas trip for 6 months, so 6 weeks is kind of short. But we've got 13 signed up to go, and there'll be 6 from this church. It'll be all the Canusas, myself, and Leah's staff. So pray for us in our trip. We're going to go down there and try to get the equipment set up at the clinic. That'll be May the 31st.
Okay. At this time, let us pause for a moment of silent prayer and prepare our hearts for the worshiping of God. Thank you. all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy.
How awesome is the Lord the Most High, the great King over all the earth. He shows our inheritance for us.
Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises.
For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to Him the song of praise.
Turn your
hymnals
now, if you will, please. Hymn 234, Let's Crown Our King with Many Crowns.
Thank you.
call to confession this morning is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 6. When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On the day they fasted, and there they confessed, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel was the leader of Israel at Mizpah. Join us in our prayer of confession. We have to confess, O Lord, that we are people who want to have everything proven for us. We hear the message in the scripture of Jesus' vision, and we stop smoking, not truly believing the vision. Forgive us for our arrogant doubts and attitudes of smugness. Help us remember that everything Jesus taught us was to prepare us to help build God's will here on earth. We are called to be people of faith, not of absolute proof, as we understand it. Let us place our trust in Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. Let us look with eyes of faith as He ascends to the Father. Amen. And He gives that assurance of forgiveness from Psalm 103, verses 2 through 4. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. He forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. At this time, we have Him on the screen and in our book.
Celebrate Jesus.
Our sentence is taken from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. I invite the ushers to come forth to accept our tithes and offerings at this time. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fuel we have. Lord, we thank you for the church, the building, our family here. Thank you for all the memories. Thank you for the love that you've received in us. Lord, please accept these offerings today in our lives. We look forward to the blessing you provide for us. We offer to you. Jesus Christ. Amen.
Girls, come on down from, and listen to what story Miss Andrea has for us today. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's try that again. Good morning. Last Sunday, when we got home, we stepped out of the car, and the first thing I heard was my oldest horse that I have, Dusty, nickering to me. And I always know that if Dusty is calling for me when I get out of the car, something's wrong with Dusty. And so I couldn't see him anywhere. But I started in the direction of his voice, and sure enough, climbed over the fence, started downhill, and Dusty had managed to walk through. He was going down the hill, and we call them big grapevines, but they're big vines around some of our trees in the woods. He had managed to walk going downhill through a tree and a grapevine, and the grapevines had him trapped against the tree. But the thing about Dusty was, Dusty knew we'd be back home eventually, and Dusty's smart enough to stand there and not hurt himself and wait and let us know he's in trouble when something like that happens. So sure enough, I got down there, couldn't get him out, you know, tried to lift his leg, there was no way to get him out, so Larry had to go get the saw and come saw him out, he went right on about it. No, not his leg, his the grapevine. No, we left all legs intact. But he got the grapevine sawed off and let him go, and he went right on with his life. Now, that made me think about this. You know, we've been talking about the fruits of the Spirit, and one of the fruits of the Spirit is the peace that we have as followers of Jesus Christ. Well, Dusty has the peace of knowing that his humans are going to come back when he's in trouble, So he has this, it makes him peaceful enough to stand and wait till we get back to healthy. And in Ephesians, hold just a second, that's the wrong place here. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. I want you to listen to what this says, because this kind of sums it up. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. So always remember, you as followers and believers in Jesus, carry him with you each and every day, and that gives you the peace to be calm in all situations.
Stay in sanctuary today. No children's church. No children's church today. Okay. Listen to me just like my own children do. Let's turn in our hymns to hymn 323. Let's sing verses 1 and 2.
Thank you. the disciples met with Jesus on the night in which he was betrayed, one of his own betraying him. We remember his name. It was Judas. They met to celebrate the Passover. They wanted to remember how God had freed them, how he had freed them from the bondage of Egypt, how he had redeemed them that they might be his people and not Pharaoh's people. And that had happened some 400 years before this event where Jesus met with the disciples, but they still remembered it year after year after year. As Jesus met with these disciples, he instituted a way that we can remember him from, as saving us from our bondage to sin and Satan, free to serve God. And it says, as they were eating the Passover meal, Jesus took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it. And he gave it to the disciples and said, "Hey, eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." The invitation to the table is the invitation to all believers in Christ. If Christ Jesus is your Savior, he invites you to eat and drink from his table. He invites you to eat of the bread that represents a body that was broken to pay for your sin, and drink from the cup, the contents of which are a reminder, are a remembrance, are an example of his blood shed for us for the removing of our sin through our faith in him. Jesus being the perfect sacrifice, taking our sin in his body, paying that price on the cross, where they broke his body, where he shed his blood. Let us offer thanks for this bread. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come humbly before you. We're sinners, but you have redeemed us. We have put our faith in you and know that through your sacrifice and our faith in your sacrifice, and even knowing that you have given us this faith or this ability to believe and trust, we know that our sins are taken away. They're not held against us, and that you are our advocate with the Father to plead our case for us. But we also know, Lord, that the Father, God the Father, is pleased to forgive us. Thank you for this way to remember your marvelous sacrifice for us. Bless this word to our spiritual nourishment as well as our spiritual growth. In Jesus' name. Amen. The body of Christ broken for you. You serve him. The cup contains the fruit of the vine, the fruit of the grape, the juice, symbolizing Jesus' blood. He's invited us to drink of it. All of us, all who trust in him as our Lord and Savior. Lord God, bless this cup. We praise you, we thank you. We're humble before you. Amen. Amen. In will you drink, remembering His blood shed for you. And He served you. Serve the people.
But give me Jesus.
for God. Again, we offer thanks to you, and we praise your name for your wonderful gift, the gift of salvation, being that offered. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Larry.
Thank you.
Our scripture selection today is taken from the first chapter of Acts. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 14. I invite you to open your Bible, or pew Bible, and read along silently with me. In my former book, Theophilus, and that word means dear to God, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the time or day the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. But after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together, constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. The ascension. The ascension happened, and it's recorded in the book of Acts. But I want us to think about the time between the ascension and when Jesus comes back. If you will, I want you to think about some in-between time in your life. A personal in-between time that you remember and is very vivid in your mind. It could be the time between your 6th birthday and your 11th birthday. It could have been the time between when you got married and your first child was born. It could have been the time between when you graduated from high school and you started the college. Reflect on some in-between time. Do you have some good memories of some in-between times? And then you may have some memories of some bad or some bad memories of some in-between times. It really doesn't matter. I just want you to think of in-between times. The time that I want you to think about today that I'm calling an in-between time, and that wasn't an original thought of me, between Jesus' ascension and His return to earth. Because that's where we are now. That's where we're living. I can only imagine either of these experiences. We've got a song and we're singing it about, I can only imagine what happens when we get to heaven. How are we going to act before Jesus? Well, I can only imagine what happened when those disciples, those 11 disciples, were gathered with Jesus a Sabbath day's journey from town and saw Him taken up on a cloud. And I can only imagine what's going to happen, and I'm not sure I can do justice to it. Imagine what's going to happen when Jesus comes again, just like He left on a cloud. Can you think what's going to happen? And if you would have been there on that day with those disciples, would you have told anybody what you had just seen? Actually, there were 11 and 2. There were 2 present with them, men in white, speaking to them, angels, were they angels? Messengers at least. 13 people there. Do you think anybody would have believed you if you went home with the town and told that a person who had lived, been crucified, been buried, and now his friends and followers were talking about God raising him from the dead, the tomb was empty, and that 40 days later, he was taken up on a cloud? They would probably put you in a straitjacket, would they not? They would probably tie your hands like this, and tie those ropes or those ties in the back, and ship you off to God knows where. The asylum. Remember that they're coming to take you away. They're coming to take you away. They would probably come and take you away, or me too, if I went home and said that. And just think of those who were there, though, watching this. Wow. And the people that they told, they would probably try to explain it away. Just like when Jesus comes, people try to figure out how it's going to happen. Well, we have television now. We can all see it on television. And maybe so. I don't know. But maybe we'll get up late at night and kind of like the satellites that are going over or the eclipse. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, we'll get up to see something that we won't see again, ever. Like we'll get up to see something now, some of y'all do, that we won't see again for 300 years, and we know that we won't be here again. Those special stars going through the sky, or the eclipse, etc., etc., etc. Can you imagine what it would be like? What about when that first man flew that airplane? Was it Kitty Hawk? Those other people had been flapping those arms and attaching wings to them for generations trying to fly. And finally somebody went up and flew for how many minutes? Less than a minute? Or 1 minute? That's a long time though. Just time yourself a minute. I won't stop to do it now. I can only imagine when Jesus comes back. But friends, we don't have to imagine what's happening right here in this in-between time. We're living it. That's where we are right now. Scripture lesson. What is verse 10 through 14 about? Acts chapter 1. Verse 10 through 14. This is about this in-between time. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, two men stood there and said, "Why are you standing here gazing up into heaven? Why would they not be gazing up into heaven?" A once in a lifetime event. And they were privileged to see it. We've never seen anything like this before. That would have been a good answer to them, wouldn't it? We'll probably never see this again. We can't believe our eyes. That's why we're looking up to heaven. But that question was asked. This same Jesus who was taken up from you to heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go to heaven. Then they returned from the mount called Olivet. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. And it names them. And then it tells what these who were living in that in-between time, on the front end of it, what they were doing there. Verse 8. If we go back to verse 8. And I don't want to limit ourselves to this passage. You can see printed before you some other references, some other passages there. But go back to verse 8. Says, tells us, reminds us, that Jesus is going to send power upon his disciples. That the disciples would receive power, and when was that going to come? You have that part printed there before you. Look back to verse 8 if you will. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and, okay, 10 days after this experience, if we are counting time from the crucifixion to the resurrection, 40 days later was Thursday. It was past Thursday. And 10 days later, which will be next Sunday, is the day of Pentecost. And if we have counted time, if we haven't got it confused, that's the day that the power came upon those who were gathered in Jerusalem. Then all of them, is all of them the 12, all of them the 120, or all of them everybody in Jerusalem? But it was a powerful moment, to say the least. Whoever receives the power, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That experience came 10 days later, and incidentally, I have a little difficulty. Do I preach on Mother's Day next week or Pentecost? And if I took a poll, probably be equally divided. Some would say Mother's Day, some would say Pentecost. Probably can't do both, but we'll figure out something. We'll pray about it, so you pray about it. Lead it by Tuesday. Lead an answer by Tuesday. At least. But you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes up on you. Now I want to go back to John chapter 14. Jesus had said, well, let's go back to that, look at that. Jesus had said what in John chapter 14, the first 6 verses? He said, "I'm going away, but I'm coming back." So he told us about this in-between time. I'm going away, but I'm coming back. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to heaven, but I'll be back to get you and receive you Unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. There will be many rooms there, or many mansions. It's going to be a great place. And Revelation tells us a bit about it. We tried to preach on that about a year ago, I guess. Jesus has gone to prepare that place. And His in-between time, His ascension and His return, He is preparing a place for us to go to. And He's promised to come back and get us. Now, what to do in this in-between time? I look to Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. That's the Great Commission. I look at Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. That's Mark's condensed version of Matthew's Great Commission. I look at Luke 24, 47, and that's a part of Jesus' statement before He departed. I looked at John chapter 21, 15 through 22, and this is when Jesus came back and met the disciples who had been fishing. He was on the shore when they came in, and He fed them, and He took Peter off and consoled him and restored him. And these all give instruction for disciples to follow during this in-between time. Now, let's ask the question, what are we doing with our in-between time? The Thessalonians sat down and twisted their thumbs, kind of. They just waited and looked. And the angels, or the two men, said, "Why are you gazing? Go back to town and get the power." But some people just want to look. One thing we read in these passages, they were together. Is there any such thing as an individual Christian separated from everybody else? Well, it can happen. Not denying it can happen. But Jesus has sent us to other people if we are alone, and He has called us together in groups. He left 11, and they replaced Judas with another one. And then there was a larger group, 120, and soon the group got bigger. But as they went back to town, they were together in the upper room. Now, they were praying. And I trust that this is a together experience this morning, that Jesus, or the angels that spoke concerning Jesus, have sent us to do. We have come together. Last night, last evening, down at the Methodist Church, we had Methodists, and we had Baptists, and we had Mill Methodists, and we had Cumberland Presbyterians, and who else? That's the ones I remember. Had a lot of people there. Some more Baptists, and some more Baptists, and some more Methodists. Just one Cumberland Presbyterian Church, I think, was involved, because they're the only ones in this community. But they had Triune, they had Elkworth Methodist, then a couple of three Baptist churches. And we were together. We were worshiping together. We were being blessed. We were encouraging one another. They were also, these disciples were instructed to spend time in prayer, or they went back and spent time in prayer. They needed some guidance, some insight. They needed to be ready and prepared to receive that Holy Spirit when He came upon them. They went back and they waited. And I still have trouble waiting. Somebody asked me today, visitor to the first service, 8 o'clock service, he says, the Natchez Trace, he lived close to the Natchez Trace over in Florence or something. He said, "Do you ever travel the Trace?" And I said, "Man, I can't stand the Trace." You know, the last time I tried it, I went about 50 miles, and I was so miserable, I got off and got on the superhighway where I could come on home. And you've been on the Trace. I just don't like to wait like that. And one of my most difficult Christian acts, most difficult for me to do, is wait. Wait on the Lord. We want things to happen, and I've learned to wait, and then I forget to wait. Now I'll learn to wait again, and I'll forget to wait. They waited. They waited according to Jesus' instructions. And then they were in the, Luke says they were in the temple praising God. Acts, I think it says they waited in the upper room, but Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, says they were in the temple also. Constantly in the temple. And then there was preaching. Mark chapter 16 speaks of their preaching. They were witnessing. And it said, of these things you will be a witness, or you are a witness. Two ways to look at witness. We witnessed it. We saw it. The other way to look at witness is we bear witness. We give a witness. Like in a court case, we give a witness. We say what we have witnessed. We speak what we have witnessed. So there was witnessing. Matthew 28, Jesus tells those disciples to make more disciples, baptizing and teaching, etc., etc., etc. Somewhere a long time ago, I preached from 1 Peter 4 about what the disciples did and what we were supposed to do as we wait for Jesus to come. As you read 1 Peter 4, talk about people living good, clean lives, staying away from that evil, freeing ourselves of evil, live lives that glorify God. And we can go and read that. And then John chapter 21, I believe it is. What were they doing in that in-between time? They went fishing. Is there anything wrong with going fishing? I think not. They didn't know what else to do. They were told to wait. So they went fishing. And Jesus came and talked to them. Maybe they needed some relaxation. Maybe they needed the time to just get off and meditate. Maybe they needed the time to just have a little small group of fellowship. But while they were there, Jesus came to them. Prepared a little meal for them when they got in from the fishing. And then he took Peter, as you read it, it appears to me that he took Peter off to himself. And I think I've said this more than once. He took Peter off by himself. Now, I indicate that because he turned and looked and saw John, and Peter wanted to question about it. And he restored Peter, who had denied knowing Jesus, even three times, after saying he would never deny. Now, this may have come before the ascension. I think this came before the ascension, but it was after the resurrection. So we go back a little bit. They had fellowship with Jesus, and they received instructions. Then the restoration of Peter, that's really the important part that I want to stress today, is that he gave Peter some instruction about taking care of disciples, taking care of fellow Christians. Peter may not have been the best pastor. Peter was an outstanding preacher. I don't know he wasn't a good pastor. But Jesus told him three times, like, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And that may be, feed, maybe be a good teacher, Peter. But we see when we read Peter's letters that at least he had thoughts about, and he was instructing other Christians to be good pastors to one another. Help one another. Encourage one another. Live among each other in a way that would bring glory to God. The in-between time. In between Jesus' resurrection and ascension and his return to earth. What are you doing? What are you doing during this in-between time? Are you following Jesus? The invitation is to follow Jesus. Maybe you follow Jesus but kind of got off track. And maybe the Sunday after Mother's Day or Pentecost Sunday, we'll talk about rededication. I thought an inspiration that came from three or four different areas for that. So maybe we'll look for that. I want you to pray about it and look forward to it. Maybe this is the time that you would renew a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you need to do it here in public, in this church, in this altar this morning. Maybe you need to do it there where you're sitting. Maybe you need to go into your closet when you get home and do it. Or your private spot that you can spend just with Jesus. Maybe in this in-between time, God is calling you to membership in this church. So you'll become a member of this church, being a believer, being in fellowship or right relationship with Jesus, following Him, trusting Him.